This is the Packer and Durham Podcast, Hour 3.
Get you ready for your Tuesday. Make it a good one. We have a busy, busy slate of games, though, tonight. And with that said, let's bring on Jordan Cornett to talk about all of them. Jordan, how are you?
What's up, guys? Good to talk to you. Pack Durham, how are we feeling this morning?
Well, we're good, man. Another day, another dollar. Amen. But we've got, again, the globs kind of taken over. We saw some more of that last night. But there are so many intriguing games tonight. And I know you've got Pitt and Duke tonight, but we'll get to that game. The importance for Virginia tonight against Florida State, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rank that one?
79.
Yeah,
and I say that because I've done a heap of Virginia games this year, so their fans either love me or hate me with the product they're seeing on the floor and me being the one calling it. But what it comes down to is Virginia needs a big time win. They need a quad one win. They need to beat a team like this, a top 10 team, to kind of give them a jolt a little bit. I mean, even that win versus just a few days ago versus Wake Forest, they had to squeak by Wake Forest. I mean, this is a team that clearly struggles offensively, but one thing that is within their control is taking care of the turnovers. Defensively, they're elite, and it's going to give them an opportunity. Thomas Walton Tensai starting to knock down a three-point shot gives them another dynamic.
All right, now wait a second. The last 10 minutes in overtime the other day in Winston-Salem required industrial eyewash. Okay, so, I mean, I told you that, and I'm still of the belief, right, Pac? That was about as bad a sequence offensively as two teams could offer you. So if Virginia can guard to their level, and I think they're a little better defensively, how much room, though, have they got to make up offensively against a Florida State team who also guards, Jordan? See, that would be the kind of the yin and the yang tonight, right?
Yeah, but keep in mind, I mean, at Florida State a week ago, this team was in position in Virginia to beat them. So they have the ability. They've now seen what Florida State looks like. They'll be prepared, and now this one's on their home floor. They're going to be looking to right that wrong. Look, Coach Hamilton is, in my opinion, without question, the coach of the year in the conference at this point. But Tony Bennett is also one of the greatest coaches in the country and the reigning national champion. They're going to make adjustments. They haven't been great at home because they haven't been great anywhere. But they are not going to be overwhelmed by what they see from Florida State because they've seen it.
All right, you're in Cameron Indoor. Here comes Pitt with that great backcourt. Here comes Duke doing their thing, one of the three ACC teams ranked in the top 10 in the country. It's been kind of interesting the last couple of weeks to kind of monitor Duke on the national scene. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, you know, there's a lot of claim, hey, it's the best team in the country. Then all of a sudden, there's that crazy week where they lose to Clemson, and Louisville goes into Cameron and wins, and everybody kind of took a step back, kind of like we've been doing with everybody in the ACC, and went, all right, let's kind of look back at Duke and see where they are. Hey, this is still an incredibly talented team. They're at home. They will be certainly challenged with that backcourt tonight against Pitt. But where would you put Duke big picture?
I put Duke big picture as a team that still hasn't reached nearly close to their ceiling. When Trey Jones is playing great basketball, this team is a very tough out. A lot of people still jab me for saying they're unbeatable. It's not what I said when I was talking about Duke. What I do believe, though, is it's a special team, and they're so incredibly deep. When they are locked in, when they are communicating, when they are active with their hands defensively, translating defense and offense, when they are competing on a backboard and Kerry Jr. is locked in, something he hasn't been in the last few games, when Wendell Moore returns, I think this team has a real chance to play for a one seed when it's all said and done.
It's interesting, too, because the combination of Jones and Vernon Carey, Jordan, almost make it easier for Matthew Hurt and Joey Baker and all these other guys. And you know, I think if Jones and Carey can be consistent every night, Duke's just going to be very, very tough to beat, I think. But, you know, then again, that's why Louisville's Louisville and Florida State's Florida State, to paraphrase the great Bobby Cremins. I mean, you know, Duke's got pieces, but there are other contenders out there too now.
But and that's the funny thing to me, Wes, is, look, I know the ACC is not what we all maybe anticipated it to be coming into the season, but yet still, you have three teams that are tier one teams in those three that we all know they are, in Louisville, Florida State, and Duke. And when it comes down to guys like Matthew Hurt that you mentioned, I mean, that's spot on in the analysis of this team. When Vernon Carey is locked in, productive, dominant on that low block, Matthew Hurt has the easiest job in college basketball, and he said as much. Mm. He knows that because of the defensive attention that Carey commands, it's going to allow for some open shots for him. I get really excited watching Duke because you don't see a lot of teams out there that score 83 points per game. Offense has come at a premium this season. It's been hard to find across the conference, across the college basketball landscape. So to watch Duke when they are on their game, it's a beautiful thing to watch.
Pitt, great backcourt. To pull the upset off, you got to get great guard play. Mm-hmm. I would assume it starts with that tonight if you're Jeff Capel walking into familiar territory.
Yeah, Johnson McGowan's absolutely. These guys really have to get this team going. They have to be in attack mode. They have to be playing downhill. This is a very aggressive Pitt team. While undersized, very dangerous. We talk about teams that are defensively tough in this conference. I don't know why we don't talk about Pitt more than we do. I mean, this is the second best defense at times in the conference. And statistically, that's exactly where they are in terms of points allowed. So Duke has an advantage inside. I expect them to establish Vernon Carey Jr., gang rebound down there. But speaking to the toughness of Pitt, despite being undersized, they are a phenomenal offensive rebounding team. Justin Champagny is a huge piece, and his elevation in the last few games, averaging around 15 points per game, what he can give this team as a third weapon is instrumental for them to have a chance here. A lot of people expect Duke to roll in this one. I think we're going to have a close contest.
Jordan, Pitt's got to stay out of foul trouble tonight, right? I mean, they commit fouls at an alarming rate, or whistled for fouls at an alarming rate, depending on your choice of words there.
Players never foul, Wes.
Players never foul. Take it from a career shot blocker. You never foul. So if they can stay out of foul trouble, how big is that for them tonight?
It's huge, but I expect Duke and the mastermind that Coach K is not to skirt away from the obvious. They're going to look to exploit the paint. When you've got a scorer like Vernon Carey, who's a walking double-double, who's been struggling lately and hasn't been as locked in as you would hope him to be, this seems like a get-right game for Vernon Carey. He is going to attack that front line. Pitt is going to have to be fundamentally sound, throw a healthy amount of double teams, try and make Vernon Carey make decisions. He can be turnover-prone at times. And for Pitt, for their defense to key their offense is always a wild success for those Panthers.
All right, Jordan, one team that's playing really good basketball is Syracuse. They've won five straight. They've kind of gone to the top of the glob, if you will. But now Jim Boeheim takes his boys down to Little John, and Clemson's obviously been shown to be dangerous at home. Just ask Duke. Break that down for us. What do you like? Who do you like? And why?
Shot selection is really what it comes down to in the success for Syracuse. I mean, a team so enamored with a three-point shot, it kind of plagued them at times. And coming into the season with Coach Boeheim proclaiming that this was going to be such a great offensive team, he was right if they took the right shots. I think to live and die by the three quickly became the theme for Syracuse, and it did them no favors. I think Buddy Boeheim exploring the pursuit of two-point shots along with Dolezal, coupled with who Elijah Hughes is, I think it makes this team more intriguing and more confident on that side. The matchup zone is always going to be perplexing for opponents, so they're going to be there. I laugh with everybody and say it almost feels like a year where, oh, Syracuse, what a terrible team. They're not even going to make the tournament. And are they going to get to the Elite Eight this year? Like, is this that kind of year for Coach Boeheim? And you laugh because you really don't know with where this team is going. But one thing's for certain, they played their way firmly back in a tournament conversation. I think that's great for the game to have Syracuse back in that position. As for Clemson, they shoot the lights out at home. They play really well there, so I think that's going to be a great one because you're going to have to be in a knockdown shots against that matchup zone.
By the way, we have a lot of things at stake here between Josh Macri and Packer tonight with Syracuse and Clemson. We got a lot of stuff being wagered here. Have you been able to, in your travels, Pack and I went through this midseason all ACC thing. We can all know Jordan War is really good. We all know, that, Mooney's really good. I mean, by the way, Mooney is doing Notre Dame
Do we know
John Mooney.
He's really good?
Yes.
I mean, the country doesn't. I think it's unbelievable. Right. I'll get off my soapbox on that one, but that's incredible.
No, I think John Mooney's really good. I agree with you. I think he's totally underrated nationally. I don't think people understand the numbers he's putting up and the way he's doing it. And all you need, I mean, you know this because you played there, but when he took Luke Herangode's double-double streak out the other night, that's a major, major, because Luke Herangode was a big-time player. In this
Luke
country.
Luke Herangode, I think, might be the only person in the country whose jersey was retired while he was still playing. It was hanging from the rafters while he was still playing at Notre Dame. So that puts into perspective the kind of guy he was there. That is absolutely a huge record, Wes, as you mentioned.
All right, now here's the question I have about kind of where Notre Dame is. Mike Bray was kind of, you know, reprimanded, institutional fine offered to Notre Dame. Is your man just going to show up, walk around? He's going to bring walk around money to every presser the rest of the year. What do you think is going to happen? You know this guy. Yeah, that's
it. Hey, I'm telling you, that you can stockpile that money up there in South Bend, man. Coach Bray, $20,000 ain't a thing, Wes. That ain't a thing.
Look at
straight
the quote,
cash, homie.
Look at the quote yesterday. Homie. I'll take my medicine like a man. I'll try to be a good guy the rest of the season, but I can't guarantee anything. I mean, come on. How good is this?
There is no cooler coach in college basketball. There's no cooler coach in the world than Mike Bray with how he takes this kind of stuff. The man could lose the rest of his games this season, and he'd be this fun-loving and this quotable. Because it's just who he is, and it speaks to the level of achievement that has gone on for the 20-plus years in South Bend, where the best part of that, Pack and Wes, was when he's walking out after calling out Gaffney, after talking about how bad the officials were, after mentioning the ACC Network, he goes, but Florida State's a good team. They got a chance to win it all. That was the funniest part of the whole thing. Like, he made sure to give some love as he's walking out the door. It was awesome.
I know is your dues are going to go up because we got to get that $20,000 from Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Just telling you that right now. Yeah.
Whatever that monogram club thing is and all that other stuff, I mean, you know, those dues are going up.
Well, yeah, it's very different for me. Everybody said, I mean, should athletes be paid? I said, when they looked at my shooting percentage and how many points I averaged in my career, they said, Cornette, you owe us money back from that scholarship. So I'm still paying that part.
Hey, by the way, we haven't investigated this on this show. Jordan's wife, Shay, great people, by the way, graduated from Indiana, right? I want to make sure I get this right. Graduated from Indiana.
She's a Hoosier.
She's a Hoosier. So I was wondering how she might be doing after Maryland went to Assembly Hall the other day and walked out of there with one and not good, right? I'm just going to go not
good. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, not good. It's been, we talk about the Grob. Hoosier fans know all about that too right now. So it's been a roller coaster ride with our relationship anytime that the Hoosiers are on the screen.
Yeah, I got you.
Because as we know, they're not watching football down there. So this is really all they got.
A subtle football jab. You know, this is how you got in trouble in the first place.
Yeah, that's true.
Bring football
that's
into
very
this.
True.
Hey,
that's very true.
Mike Cousins, Jordan Cornette, 9 o'clock tonight. ESPN follows Florida State, Virginia. A little Super Tuesday double dip of ACC ball tonight on the mothership.
Oh yeah.
See you Saturday in Chapel Hill. Look forward to it, my man.
Love you guys. Keep up the great work. So fun to watch you.
All right. Appreciate it. Jordan Cornette.
What's the matter, Fuller?
Put in the dues. Fuller's upset we're talking about Mike Bray. And
no, he's not. Fuller's pro Mike Bray. Everybody's pro Mike Bray.
Everybody's pro Mike Bray.
Yeah.
All right. We got plenty to cover coming up here, right? We got
more guests. Darius Perry coming up here in 15 minutes from Louisville.
Yeah. Re-rack a little bit on last night, including – go ahead. Say it. Go ahead.
If you want nice things, you got to win games like this, NC State. Just saying. If you want nice things, this is how it works.
Apparently, though, it's all about a Jim Valvano curse.
Who knew?
Who knew?
The curse of Valvano is all the deal here.
All right. Who knows? More on the heels in Pack when Packer and Durham, another kind of Pack, continue on ACC Network.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
What is Packer, that? Is that a pillow?
No, that is Chester.
Oh, sorry.
Freshly groomed. Not to be confused with his twin, which is sitting up here.
Yeah, that doesn't have anything.
It's just like him.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the ball dog is down here below
the
table.
He's been fired up. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number. Mentioned that Darius Perry of Louisville will join us, come up here in about 15 minutes as they get ready for an interesting week, too. Again, we talked about at the top this week. The three big boys play a grand total of six games, five of which are on the road, right? The only home game is tonight with Duke taking on Pitt. But nevertheless, we'll get to that momentarily. Last night, NC State given a golden opportunity to finally knock off their rival, get some momentum back at home, short turnaround from a Saturday to a Monday. They just did not get the job done, Wes. And North Carolina shoots the ball well, pounds it inside, dominated the rebounding situation. And all of a sudden, it's North Carolina that's starting to feel good about itself now.
Yeah, a couple of wins will do that, but I think the ball going in the basket, I think Tony Haynes talked about it in his visit with us. I think, you know, you look at Brandon Robinson, maybe just if you want to take the prime example of the ball going in the basket, it may be Brandon Robinson alone. Although, as you said, he got banged up last night, played like a warrior. And, you know, Carolina finds themselves in an interesting spot now with Boston College coming to town, chance to pick up a third win in a row before you go to Florida State on a Monday night. It's going to be interesting. But NC State now, all the goodwill has been given back. And that they're not exclusive to this, as we said in the first hour today, but it's got to be frustrating because, what'd you say, a week ago tonight, you win at Virginia, and everybody's starting to feel really good about where you are. And
you
then,
and I are having this a week ago today during this show. Mm-hmm. We were talking about NC State in a situation where in a span of 72 hours, they knock off Clemson. They went on the road at Virginia. C.J. Bryce is back and healthy.
Going to Atlanta.
You look at the rest of the schedule, go, man, we got all week to get ready for Atlanta team and Georgia Tech that beat us to start the season, and we weren't healthy, and now we are. We're going to go down there and settle that score, and then we get ready for our arch rival, North Carolina, who's really struggling at that time. And here we are a week later, and you're kind of going, man, what happened? The wheels fell off. You know, you lose to Georgia Tech. I didn't think they played particularly well last night, even though – you know, even late second half, they kind of made a run to get it within four, but just didn't close, losing, what, 11 of the last 13 shots? So you look at this and you kind of go, yikes.
I want to hold the standings for a moment. All right. You see where NC State is, 5-5, right? And remember where they were at 5-3 before the two losses. Carolina went to Friday afternoon with two wins, or, with one win. And now they have two wins for three total. Now, they have Boston College on Saturday. Okay? So that would put them – and just look at the left column here. All you're paying attention to is the left side because the numbers are imbalanced. And this is something we were trying to explain earlier this week about
– I was trying to explain to you that you said we're at the halfway point. I'm like, we're not quite halfway. We're there. By the end of the weekend, we're there.
Okay, let's just look at the left column, the win side. Look where six is. You get to four, you're not that far. You're, as you say, 1 week of 2-0, right?
Wes, tonight, Syracuse
How
plays Clemson.
How big is that game?
And I'm just saying, look, for argument's sake in this discussion, if Clemson wins the game, they're 5-5. State's 5-5. Virginia could be 5-5 if they don't take care of business tonight. The Hokies are on the road at Miami, who's, again, depleted, but it's still a road game. Syracuse would be 6-4. I mean, it is microscopic, those numbers, from a 6 to a 3 or a 4 column in terms of the wins. And we're just the halfway point. We still have 10 more conference games to go when there's absolutely no definition other than the top three teams in the league.
By the way, early word tonight on the game at Coral Gables that comes off at 8 o'clock with Dave O'Brien and Corey Alexander and the coveted invite down at the Watsco Center.
She'll probably enjoy that trip.
I think so. Cam McGusty and Stone will be back in the lineup tonight. Chris Likes will not against Virginia Tech.
Well, we've talked about injuries all year, too. And Miami, you know, the team that they rolled out on the floor at Chapel Hill, that team's not going to beat anybody. Just telling you. I mean, you can't have six scholarship players in this league, much less any other league, and say, hey, we're ready to compete. But Jim Larranaga, you know, he'll draw up some plays tonight and see what happens. And the Hokies coming off a disappointing loss at BC, in which they had momentum after their big win against North Carolina in double overtime, took it on the road and, you know, got off to a good start and could not close. It is a theme in this league this year.
Yeah. So be mindful of where Miami is tonight. But that win column, when we showed you that the standings a moment ago, just takes 1 week, doesn't it? Either way.
I keep telling you, a 2-0 week, the way it's going right now, you will jump over four or five teams.
All right.
That's what we got.
Crazy.
And there are no great teams. And I'll say this for the 400th time on this show, same thing on Off Campus on Sirius XM. We don't have great teams.
Right.
But what we do have are compelling, interesting games. Is it pleasing to the eye sometimes? No. But you could get some games that are out of sight. But, you know, if you want a tight game 4 minutes ago, have no idea who's going to win, grab your popcorn. We'll be all right. See where it goes.
NC State has Louisville on Saturday. Louisville is at BC tomorrow night on this network.
And we'll talk to Darius Perry about that.
And then you look at the other games tonight. We talked to Jordan Cornett about Pittsburgh at Duke, Florida State at Virginia, Virginia Tech at Miami, the only non-conference game. By the way, it's the only non-conference game remaining. Best I can tell through the schedule look here is Morehouse Division II tonight at Georgia Tech. And that's a game where the Jackets are just trying to fill one of their two bye weeks. So, there you go. It's on ACCNX, by the way. So is Syracuse Clemson tonight. So there you have it. Just kind of getting you up to date on the schedule. I know.
How many home teams win tonight? You're into the home team visiting team thing. This is your kind of. This is right down your alley. How many home teams win tonight? I'm assuming Georgia Tech wins. That's one.
No, that doesn't count. That's a non-conference game.
No, that doesn't count. In the West Durham math.
No, it does not count in my math. Okay. It's all about conference games.
All right.
Home teams tonight win. Two. We'll go for a split tonight.
Okay.
We'll go for a split.
You sure about that?
See, the problem is the trend right now. What are you laughing about?
I knew there would be a delay, and then let me reposition my position.
Well, this is...
I was waiting on it.
I say two.
This is like
right here. Duke wins. Is this where, Macri calls me one of those fence centers? Is that what I'm...
Yeah, this is like Bond. James Bond.
Yeah. Okay, Duke, I like at home, obviously.
Obviously. You think there's no way Pitt can win that game?
I think it'd be a big upset.
Okay. We've seen it.
Yes, we have.
Cameron has not been immune to crazy endings this year. Nobody was loving on Louisville when he rolled in.
Louisville
and Pitt are on equal footing, even though that was a pretty close game the other night when they played. When you have great guards... Changes.
The one I'm struggling with, believe it or not, is not Florida State, Virginia. I think Florida State wins that game. I'm struggling with the Syracuse Clemson concept. That's the other one I thought. I thought Duke and Clemson would win tonight. But Syracuse, I got to be honest, I was impressed. Elijah Hughes did not have a great game Saturday. Marek Dolezal, we ran through this all midseason, all ACC stuff. Marek Dolezal is a really good player. Really good player. Now, I'm not saying he's the answer, but, that guy can impact a game. And another team like Pittsburgh that sometimes gets themselves in foul trouble is Clemson. Fair or not?
It's up to you. I asked you the question.
How about 1.5?
That's more like it. That's what I was looking at.
Is that what you're looking for?
That's what I expected originally from you.
1.5. Let's go 1.5.
All right.
The over-under is 1.5.
Yeah, 1C.
On home teams.
1D. 2F.
That's what you like about me.
West Durham Specials.
Love all, serve all. West Durham Specials. All right, when we come back, young man who has really, really developed nicely for Chris Mack is Darius Perry out of famed Wheeler High School in the Atlanta area, Marietta, Georgia. We'll talk to number two of the cards. By the way, asking about some of those sharp-looking jerseys, Tupac. Mm. When Packer and Durham continues, final half hour of the Power Hours next on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham from the basement. 30 minutes to go, but before we get out of here and get you ready on your Tuesday, we're going to join Darius Perry, who's off to a roaring start with his Louisville Cardinals, feeling good about where they sit atop the Atlantic Coast Conference. Well, that's it. Let's bring on Darius. Darius, good morning, man. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm good. How y'all?
Okay, you fired up? You kind of subdued? What's the mood like in Louisville for this big week of basketball?
Of course we're feeling really good right now, but for the most part, we're just trying to, keep a level head and keep pushing forward, taking game by game.
19-5-1 on Saturday against Clemson. That had to feel pretty good, huh?
Yeah, for sure. I just shot the ball well that day, and I got a lot of open shots. My teammates really found me, so it really did feel good to have 19 that day.
Team's playing well, winning a bunch of games, winning tight games, which is always important. How would you describe the demeanor of this basketball team right now at the halfway point?
I think it's really good. I think our confidence is high right now. We just need to take that, take that and just take advantage of it and keep going with it. Everybody's playing really good right now. We're doing really well on the defensive end, and we just need to keep that up and keep getting better.
There's what would be the one part of this team that needs to be better for the second half of the ACC run and then into postseason play? If you could critique your own club and say, hey, you know what, here's the one thing we've got to do better.
I think it's just with our consistency, honestly. I think we're a really good team on both ends of the floor. But I don't think we do it for a full 40 minutes, and I don't think we do it every single game. I think if we bring that energy we had against Clemson every night and just either keep that intensity or raise it higher, then I don't think there's really any team that can beat us as long as we're like that.
You know, Darius, it's interesting. When you guys got the road win at Duke, it was almost like everybody thought, oh, man, okay, so Louisville is going to be this team. Yet, in following your team a year ago and watching the transition to Coach Mack and now the influx of the younger guys with veterans like you, I mean, everybody should have seen this, right? This team's been coming for a while. I mean, have you recognized, though, the notoriety now? This is a different feel about you guys since either the Duke win or just this year period?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we knew it was going to be up and downs coming into it, but we put a lot of work in over the summer. We put a lot of work in during the season, and we already know what the end goal is. We already know what team we're striving to be and who we are. We're just not really worried about what everybody else has to say about us. Like you said, I think this was already a long time coming, regardless of what happened in the beginning of the season or what's even happened last game. We're just going to keep doing what we do and keep being better.
You got a great home court advantage when you play at home, but I've always thought that the really great teams love going on the road. You get a double dip this week. What's it like playing on the road in the ACC?
It's definitely hard. I mean, you go in another gym and those fans are crazy. They don't hold back. And, I mean, the other team is playing really hard. It's hard to play somebody at home. So, I mean, it's really good to go on the road, I think, though. I think we enjoy it, like you said. And we take every game the same, whether we're at home or whether we're away. We're trying to win. We're trying to bring the same energy.
You know, you're one of a couple guys in this league that has really expanded their game. I mean, everybody knew you were a really good defender. I think that was the book kind of a year ago. You were a threat from the perimeter, but your dribble drive game and the attack you put on the basket this year, especially in transition, is that something that you looked at? Was that an area you focused on in the offseason?
Not really. I think the area I focused on more was pace because I've always been really good in transition, I think. Since high school, I've just really been a transition player. I like playing in open court, but I don't think my pace was very good for college. I think I just moved at one speed mostly, and now that I kind of got the pace down, can change my speeds a little bit and find my teammates while also finding myself a basket is a big thing for me, and I think that's why you see a change.
All right, now wait a second. When you say pace, you had to slow it down to stay with everybody, or were you getting out in front so far that it was causing a problem?
I think it was more slow it down. I'll just be running, everybody be like, slow down, and I honestly don't ever think I'm running that fast. And when I look at it on film, I'm moving. So it was a big thing for me to slow down.
I'm always intrigued by practice and hearing players talk about practice. What's the best thing about a Chris Mack practice?
The attention to detail, for sure. He's really big on just details and really doing everything right, hard, and perfect. I mean, of course, everything's not going to be perfect, but the more you strive for it, the better you're going to be. So that's the biggest thing with Coach Mack. He's just really, really big on detail and paying attention and things like that. And I think that's why you see us getting better every day.
And give me for example of something that he's worked on your game based on a practice drill or something that he saw and he said, hey, listen, Darius, fill in the blank.
He's been really big with me on pace. I think he's a big reason why I worked on it so hard over the summer. And he would watch film with me all the time and just show me moments where I could have changed speeds, I could have found a teammate, I could have had a basket for myself if I just would have did this thing or that thing. So, I mean, I can't give you a specific moment in the game or a specific moment when we watch film, but it's just so much that he's done, you know, with each of us just to make sure that we become a better basketball players, and that's just one thing he did with me.
All right, one of the things we heard about Darius Perry in our scouting report was that you like to draw. How is that kind of like the calm things down when you want to unplug, you just hit the pad a little bit?
I've always drawn. I my dad can draw, my mom can draw, and my older brother can too. So it kind of just came to me. But it's more like when I'm bored and I don't have anything to do, maybe I'm waiting on something to happen, like maybe waiting on to go eat with my godmother or go to the gym, and I'll just start drawing. I don't know why.
Now, we're down here in my basement. I got my two dogs, Chester and Fuller. Wes mm-hmm. puts up with them, even though the big one, Fuller, is starting to become tight with Wes. But Wes has an orange tabby. He's a cat guy.
I got a cat.
And so I sense that you and Wes could probably bond given the cat situation.
Yeah. We would be cool. I like cats. I mean, I like both. I like dogs. I like cats. But I don't know. I think I'm more of a chill, laid-back person. And I find cats more chill, laid-back animals. So that's why I kind of.
That's what I keep telling him, Darius. That's what I keep telling him.
Look at these hounds right here.
The hounds.
Speaking of chill, look at these two that I'm dealing with here.
Yeah, that's what you're seeing right now. 10 minutes ago, the black lab was all over the place. All right. Pac's got a question. We ask every – I think you're number 30 of student-athletes we've had on this show, by the way, which is really mm-hmm. good. And we have – I mean, we talk to guys you play with, other players from other sports at Louisville, all over the ACC footprint. Mm-hmm. Pac asked this question. Go ahead. Tell him. It's a real simple question, Darius.
It is. And you'll be able to handle this. I want to know the hardest class you've had at Louisville.
The hardest class I've had at Louisville. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't find school very hard. I don't. I've had a lot of classes, and I've never had a class where I just said, man, that was so hard. I think it's been all up to me. Like, the effort I put into the class is how hard it's going to be. So if I put a lot of effort into it, it's pretty easy. If I don't, then it's kind of hard. So
all right,
I couldn't give you one class.
Let me challenge you then, since you need to challenge academically at Louisville. I will tell you that 80% of the Louisville student-athletes that appeared on this show have answered that question the same way, and they have mentioned Spanish. Have you had Spanish?
Mm. I have had Spanish, but I took it in high school.
Oh, then that doesn't count. No.
But
he did go at Louisville.
But see, he did do Spanish in Cobb County, Georgia, which is hard.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I'll tell you all about that Cobb County Spanish. I got two graduates of Walton High School who did that Cobb County Spanish, and it's hard.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
So you two are going to, the cat guys are now bonding on
how hard the Cobb County Spanish is.
All right, let me switch gears. We lost a great all-time player this past mm-hmm. weekend. How did the Kobe Bryant news hit you and your team?
I know it hit everybody hard. You can see it on Coach Mack's face coming into practice, and just the way he talked to us. It hit everybody hard. And then for me personally, I mean, it hit me really hard. That was my all-time favorite player. I used to watch his videos and his every single game he played. I mean, there was nothing I didn't know about Kobe Bryant. I knew his whole name, his birthday, how old he was, any book they had on Kobe Bryant. I read it every time. I mean, I was his biggest fan, I think. And I think that hit really hard for me. And I was kind of out of it for a minute. And I think it's the same thing for a lot of my teammates. And definitely Coach Mack. I mean, I've never kind of seen him look like that or come into a practice like that. It was different. So it was devastating to hear about, for sure.
That's well said. And I think you're right. I think it hits guys at a lot of levels and a lot of age demographics. I think the other thing, too, is you know, it's harder for guys because that's the player that most kids who play college basketball right now identify the game with, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there are big fans. There's a scale of how big a fan you are. Other guys may be fans of other players. But Kobe Bryant was a dominant player to today's college basketball players, right? I mean, he's a guy that you were attracted to at, what, 7, 8 years old, I'm guessing, right, Darius?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
you associate the game with Kobe Bryant, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, everything he ever did, I tried to do the same thing. I mean, there was nothing. Anything I heard Kobe Bryant was doing, I heard he woke up at 6 a.m. to work out. I got up at 6 a.m. to work out. I mean, I heard about the way he approached the game. I tried to approach it the same way. The reason I play defense so hard is because I knew Kobe Bryant played both ends of the floor like that. So, I mean, that's, I know for sure that that's who I identify the game with, and that's who I've always looked up to my whole life. I mean, my dream was just to see him walk past me. I didn't even want to say nothing to him. So,
well, I tell you what, I appreciate you sharing that. That was cool.
That's good.
Thanks a lot. Mm-hmm. Good luck on good luck tomorrow night in Boston. That's a game here at 9 o'clock on ACC Network. Stay well. We look forward to following you the rest of the way.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right. Darius Perry joining us. Louisville, BC is part of the doubleheader tomorrow night here on ACC Network as well. Steve Schlanger and Dan Bonner will be at the Conte Forum for number 6 Louisville and BC at 7. Our night starts at 9 o'clock, rather. 7 o'clock game, Wake Forest at Notre Dame. Chris Cotter and Chris Patola will be at Purcell Pavilion for the Irish and the Deacs here on ACC Network and the ESPN app. All right, when we come back, we're going to close. We got plenty of things. We'll review the schedule for tonight. And looking forward to seeing what's on the menu here and a few other things that have come across our desk in the last 24 hours. Packer and Durham on ACC Network, Sirius XM 371.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Packer and Durham, final segment of the show. Thanks again to Tony Haynes, Jordan Cornette. You just heard from Darius Perry from Louisville as they get ready to hit the road this week. Cardinals playing with a lot of confidence.
Yes, sir. Good about he was good, by the way. I enjoyed it.
Low-key, right? First, by the way, the first student athlete to say, haven't been challenged. School has not been that hard.
Cobb County, man. Throwing that Cobb County at you.
I mean, sometimes you get answers like, oh, my God, where do I start? Darius took a deep breath, analyzed it, and said, you know what? I'm good with school. I'm rocking it.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
Big night of basketball.
Interesting night of hoops.
Yep. Super Tuesday night on ESPN.
Game in Charlottesville has got my number one attention in terms of importance, big picture. Virginia hosting Florida State.
Yep. Pittsburgh at Duke follows on ESPN, the ACC Network game tonight. Miami hosting Virginia Tech. We told you earlier, Chris Likes is out again tonight. That's the report this morning.
It's not good.
Stone and McGusty back in the lineup for Jim Larrañaga. Dave O'Brien, Corey Alexander, Katie George will be at the Watsco Center at 8 o'clock. Here on the network. And then Wednesday, we'll have a couple more games here, the doubleheader we just told you about, and we'll focus on that tomorrow, as well as check on the glob, look ahead to maybe a Thursday night of women's basketball with Georgia Tech Miami, Virginia Tech Syracuse on this network.
And the countdown, when do we start doing some wrestling?
You want to ask the fellas?
Well, I mean, they're in charge.
I know Friday, I think Friday, right?
Friday night duels.
Yeah, we got the duels on. It's Duke Carolina week. On Friday night duels.
It's up to the boys. They put all this stuff together.
Yeah, the boys Chris, put it all together.
Josh, Drew, cast of thousands. Hank, John, Lewis in the back row today.
Yeah.
Tim, the lensman. LJ.
The lensman.
Yeah, Tim's the lensman today up in Bristol.
Oh, okay.
Pack, since I know you're eager to find out, we have Coach Coleman Scott, the head man of the University of North Carolina wrestling program. Will be joining us on Friday.
Friday,
good news, too. Just confirmed to the control room, the wrestling mats will be arriving at the Packer and Durham house tomorrow morning, so we can set those up and you guys can wrestle each other.
Wes, who's the guy you want on the call for Friday Night Duels? Blackjack? Who now?
No. The old wrestler. This is...
We can't do anything with these guys.
No, you can't do anything. Blackjack
Syracuse,
Mulligan.
Syracuse wins five in a row and all Macri of a sudden, just melts lost down him, in front of our very eyes.
Blackjack Mulligan was an infamous bad guy in the old Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling back in the day. Bob Caudle.
Is that the Mac?
David Crockett. The Mac of wrestling? No.
Oh, yeah, Mid-Atlantic Championship.
No. Crockett Promotions. Crockett Promotions, which was based here, was it not?
Yes, that's it.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Crockett Promotions.
Right here in
Charlotte. And Bob Caudle was the play-by-play announcer. And David Crockett was his side man. And Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling, which went from the top of the Virginias down to the South Carolina, because once you got to Georgia, then you got the Florida-Georgia Championship Wrestling with Gordon Solie.
That's right.
Tonight in Carrollton, Tony Atlas and Tommy Wildfire Rich.
He was great, too.
Oh, he was unbelievable. I actually met like a relative of his about 8 years ago. It was you talked about Gordon Solie and I was related. I'm like, really? That's awesome. That was so good. Black Jack Mulligan was an infamous bad guy. Chief Wahoo McDaniel was the good guy, right? Remember those days?
You used to
go over here to the Chrome Dome on Independence, right?
Talking trash.
Superstar Billy Graham.
Pointing fingers and telling what I was going to do to somebody. You know I did. You know it. Four Horsemen.
Oh, yeah.
Count on it.
Arn and Ole Anderson.
The Anderson brothers.
You've threatened to bring the Nature Boy through this door.
I got Nature Boy on speed dial if you want him.
Good heavens. No, we're going to do Friday Night Duels this week.
I told you. I think it's got huge upside for us.
All right. We showcased a little bit of this earlier, but before we go, I want to give you the full quote from Mike Bray off the press conference, the ACC teleconference yesterday. Have you seen this?
Yes.
Full quote?
Outstanding.
Bray offers up the legendary, "I accept my reprimand for my comments. I'll take my medicine like a man and accept responsibility. I'll try to be a good guy the rest of the season. I've been pretty good at controlling my emotions through my 20 years of not letting them get the best of me. They did the other night, and I paid for it."
It almost sounds like a wrestling promotion of the old MAC.
Yeah, but the rest of the year, I am 40 minutes of entertainment. He's the best, right?
Well, I think he put it totally in perspective. I mean, he probably saw the quote and knew immediately he had stepped in it. And,
right.
You know, you get fined $20,000, you're on double secret probation, and you know, just don't do it again. You know, down the road you go.
All right. Now, that's the full Mike Bray. Now, do we have the tweet we talked about earlier in the show before we went on the air today? All right. I want to bring something to your attention, because not often do we see leaders – of national research and technological institutions take to the forefront, right? Angel Cabrera.
My evil twin?
Not that Angel Cabrera.
Oh, the other one at Georgia Tech.
The
president.
Dr. Angel Cabrera. Yeah.
All right, not
the president of the Georgia Institute of Technology. Kelly Quinlan, who covers Georgia Tech for the Rivals Network, said, "Georgia Tech comes in at 1,001 odds to win a national championship in college football in 2020. President Cabrera goes, "It's not zero."
It's one way to look at it.
How about the president?
I like it.
Seriously?
Now, we've become pretty comfortable hanging around collegiate presidents.
Yeah. Jim Clemens?
Yep.
Yeah. And very nice
friend
visit.
Friend of
the show. Right. So how about Dr. Cabrera just angling up for the not zero? That was good.
Technically, he's right.
Yeah.
Technically,
he's right. Well, Jeff Collins was just here. I thought that was a nice, seamless transition for us.
Sure. What else you got? Anything else?
I think that's about it. We got the games tonight. The one here on the network, the double dip on ESPN. You got something else for me?
You know, for maybe another show, I couldn't help but notice – that referees, which obviously are always in the news,
mm-hmm.
whether we're talking about it here on our show or network or anywhere else.
Right.
But the Major League Baseball and NFL, the refs wearing microphones.
Really?
You think that could ever happen in the college game? That an umpire or a referee would be mic'd during a game? You don't?
No, sir.
Do you think that's a good idea?
No, sir.
You don't? I think it's a great idea.
No, sir.
Why do you say no?
I'm not sure that the collegiate level will ever go for that.
Well, I'm not sure they will either. I'm asking you, though.
I'm just not sure
it's a good
idea. I'm not sure it's a good idea.
I think it's a great idea.
I know you do.
You know why?
Why?
Because, Wes.
Then you get to hear them talk to the coaches?
I would love
that's what I thought.
To hear.
The coach work the official?
That, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think as a fan, I would love – I mean, we know it's a hard gig for an official.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean,
yes.
It's an impossible task.
Right.
But I think that if you were at the comfort of home,
mm-hmm.
and you had an official that was microphoned, right?
Yeah.
Had a mic. And you could hear dialogue about why that controversial call was made, mm-hmm. or the exchange between a ref and a coach and or player.
Right.
I think he would be incredibly beneficial. Let's be honest. You know the conversations are taking place.
Sure.
And if you had a chance to eavesdrop into that, why would you not love that? I think it would be fantastic.
I don't disagree with that.
Well, that was the question.
Just not sure it's a good idea.
Why would it not be a great idea?
I don't think that the coaches would want any part of that.
Forget the coaches.
I understand that, but not in today's sports.
Oh, you and I totally disagree on that one then. When I read that, I was like, that is really interesting. I wonder if that will ever happen in the college game.
They're miking coaches and officials to the XFL.
I think it's brilliant. Yeah. I love that idea.
By the way, Louisville women's coach Jeff Walls coming off a sellout, or a really good crowd. I shouldn't say sellout. Big house at the Yum Center on Sunday. Will join us on this show tomorrow. Looking forward to that.
They've got Team USA coming to town.
That's it.
Right, this weekend.
So, if you missed any of it, don't forget the Packer and Durham podcast available for download. If you missed any of the show, you can catch it on the replay right here on ACC Network. For Mark Packer and our great crew, Wes Durham, have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. for Packer and Durham.
Thank you for listening to the Packer and Durham podcast. You can listen to the show live weekdays from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern on the ACC Network, Sirius XM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.